الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله غني وأنتم الفقراء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the rich, the self-sufficient. وأنتم الفقراء. And you are the fuqara, those who are dependent, those who are in need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as needy creatures. We are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy at every single moment. One time someone asked Ali radiallahu anhu how much power he truly had. Meaning in the reality of the universe, not in his own reality or in the reality of men, like between us, how much power does one person have over another. But in the reality of the universe, how much power did he have? And he asked the person who asked, he requested from the person who had asked him the question to lift up one foot. And then he said, lift up your other foot. And the person said, I can't do it. He said, that's how much power you have. We've been given a certain amount of power, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserves all power for himself. He's the most powerful. He's the one who possesses everything, and in reality we possess nothing. We're completely dependent upon his mercy, upon his rahmah, upon his guidance, upon everything that he's created around us. So Allahu ghani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient. He's the rich. وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ, and we are the ones who are dependent upon him. When you look at the tafsir of this particular ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rich and you are poor, there's so many different aspects in which people say, well, we are fuqara, why are we fuqara, why are we people who are in need? So one of the aspects is that we are faqir. So you'll see this term faqir. Right? People use this term faqir. What does it mean? So one of the aspects of this term is that we are faqir in the sense that, you know, a faqir means in Arabic someone who's poor, right? And the way you judge a faqir in this world, people say, oh, he's faqir, or he's faqir. And the reason, in Arabic, when you use that term, it means that that person has nothing in their account. That they're empty-handed. That they don't have even enough money perhaps to purchase clothing, they don't have money to purchase food. In America, the way you judge it is you look at the person's bank account. So you look at the person's bank account and you say he's faqir, he doesn't have anything. So one of the explanations of this term faqir is exactly along the same lines, but in the eyes of deeds, meaning taking into consideration deeds. When you say someone's faqir, or when someone says they're faqir, what they're saying is that their account of sincere deeds which are appropriate to present before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essentially empty, it's zero. So that's one of the reasons why people call themselves faqir. Because they have nothing to present in front of Allah. Whatever little deeds they've done, either shaitan has ruined them with a wrong niyyah, or they've presented them before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that you wouldn't present them in front of any other person in this world. For example, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the sign of the hypocrite is the person who waits for the very end of Asr. He knows he should pray Asr. He knows that it's time to pray. But he purposely waits till the very, very end of Asr because he's doing quote-unquote more important things, or he's too lazy. And then he quickly, before the sun sets, pecks four rak'ah. The term in the hadith is pecks like a chicken, up and down, four rak'ah. And he gets nothing out of that prayer. That's the sign of the hypocrite. That they just peck out their rak'ah. So what happens? They take their salah, and the salah becomes secondary. Right? The salah is a secondary thing in their life. Meaning I'll pray it when I have time for the salah. Not I'll do everything else after I finish my salah, but I'll pray my salah when I can make time in between my schedule to quickly pray it. And how do we pray it? Then not even treat it as a primary event when we do it, but get it done quickly because we have other things to do. There's other important things that we have to do. We have to just finish the salah as fast as possible. And in this particular hadith about Asr, the Prophet ﷺ is outlining this as a sign of hypocrisy. That the person takes their salah and just rushes through it and just gets it done. I mean, we should think about what we're doing when we're offering our salah. This is the only assigned deed that we've been assigned during the day. Meaning that's the purpose of your existence, that salah. When you wake up in the morning, those five salah which have been made mandatory upon you, those are the things that are the essence of your existence for that day. That's all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you woke up this morning, probably the only five deeds that are required on you in this day in order to retain yourself under the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are these five salah. You may not necessarily pay zakat today. You're probably not going to go for hajj today. You're probably not going to, it's not Ramadan, you know, 11/12 of the year. The only five things that are mandatory on you on that day are the salah. Nothing else matters. Yet those are the five things that we just either don't do in many cases, or if we have to do them, we just get them out of the way because we've made every other thing important except for the salah. Well, and then most of the time we're just praying them, you know, just to keep this idea that we're a Muslim. There's no depth in the prayer. There's no understanding of what the prayer is. There's no focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what will we get out of our prayer then? Exactly what we've been getting. Nothing. In fact, it curses you. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that on the day that when a prayer is prayed, if it's a proper prayer, done properly, with proper focus, understanding that you're in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that prayer stands up and exclaims that I have been prayed for the sake of my Lord and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. Whereas the prayer that's just rushed through, that's just done for the sake of doing it, that's just the pecking of the chicken in order to finish the rak'ah, that prayer stands up and says, you've destroyed me. And it curses you. And it's thrown back in your face like a dirty rag. So we have to begin to realize that we are fuqara. We are faqir. Our account is empty and we have to go before the ultimate of auditors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to look over every single deed in our account. There is nothing we can hide from Allah. And the first thing we're going to be asked about is our salah. Not how many people did you call to the deen. Not how many other things did you do. The first thing, was your salah even in order? Had you even built the first foundation of this deen, the salah? If the salah is completely destroyed, there was no concentration, there was no sincerity. It was just some sort of recorded act that we kept playing over and over in our lives. Then what will we say before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, it's His infinite mercy. Allah can accept it. Allah, inshallah, will accept it. But the point is that we should judge ourselves the way we judge ourselves in everything. We should be consistent. Now, nobody says, oh, well, if I just, you know, go to my interview for my job, and I don't prepare properly, I just dress however I need to dress, and, you know, I get there late, it's okay, they'll forgive. Nobody says that. Oh, it's okay. You know, at least we got it done. No, when the real important things in your life come up, you prepare properly, you get yourself ready, you focus yourself, you do your research, you talk to everybody you can, you put due emphasis. So at least don't you think due emphasis should be due on the five things that you are, that sustain your existence as a Muslim? So we have to be very, very careful about our salah. And we treat it very, very lightly, and it's just very unfortunate. It's the center, it's something that you have to work on your whole life. It's not something that you learn how to do when you're 12 and now you can just pray it however you want to pray it. There has to be focus, there has to be depth, you should understand what you're saying when you say your salah, and you should make a specific time when you do it. Not put other things aside, not putting everything ahead of it and then doing the salah whenever you can. Put the salah first and make everything around the salah. So we should be very, very careful. We are fuqara. We have empty accounts on the Day of Judgment. In this world, Allah made us ghani in a way. Min wajhin. In the sense that, okay, we all have bank accounts, we all have cars, we all have clothes. MashaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us everything in this world. But the real thing is the Day of Judgment. And on that day, our accounts, the ones that count, are going to be zero. And we have to be very, very careful and understand and reflect that we are faqir in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are seeking His mercy. So inshallah, we should read about the salah, read the fiqh of the salah, understand what we're saying in the salah, get to the masjid for the salah, read about how can we maximize the reward within our salah. Prophet ﷺ said very clearly in hadith that if people understood the benefit of praying Fajr and Isha in the masjid, they would go crawling. They would go crawling. So there are certain things that we have yet to understand. We don't understand the value of what it means to pray Fajr and Isha in the masjid. And especially with our schedules where there's no excuse, none of us work at Fajr. Most of us don't work at the time of Isha. There's no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse. At least we should be real about it and be realistic about it. There is no excuse to not get to the masjid for these prayers. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to load our accounts with good deeds and to avoid the pitfalls of shaitan so that we don't lose whatever we earn during the day.